my beloved and my children, and his body, these United States, and throughout the world, hearken and hear the words of your heavenly fathers. Father, in this day, this glorious day that I've made from the foundation of the world for my people to rejoice and to have victory in, hearken and hear these words, especially in this upcoming week. Many important events, many important things are happening. I've instructed and I've even commanded my children to continue to lift up the elections and pray. And you know exactly what to pray for. I've given you the instructions over and over. Continue to loosen the blood of my son, which overcomes the devil. Yes, it says it in my word. He overcomes and overcame him. Yes, and loosen that glory. Loosen the resurrection power. You've gotten the keys of binding and loosening in your hands. I told you to release the restraining orders against the powers of darkness on all the enemy's cohorts, every one of them. Bind that spirit of death and loosen the spirit of life from within you. Loosen the glorious ministering angels, the archangels, the glorious angels that do elections. I've got specialists in every area. Angels that do elections and bring victory. Call them forth, call them out. Tell them, hearken unto righteousness to bring the desired result of what you want to come to pass. Don't you let up. On these next 3 days, I want my people to pray at least one of these days and fast and pray for that day and lift up the elections. But there's a lot of background chicanery going on, and my people aren't aware of these things. But they must be bound up and taken authority over. And I'll reveal them to you as you continue to speak in the spirit and pray therein. And understand this, the enemy has not let his foot off the gas either. Notice what's happening over in Europe when he's trying to put forth the people back in bondage over there due to this virus. And he's putting these people back into lockdown mode. And that the enemy, yeah, he's even tried to slip it over into your own country. Yes, he's used that. He's used it as a visual, yea, for the opposing party to use as an instrument and a hammer against my people. But my people have been slack a little bit in that arena, and they've allowed the enemy to come up and rise his head up again. No, this thing was defeated at the cross. It was defeated by me. I saw it. I crushed it. I put it underneath the feet of the body of Christ. And it's time for my children to rise back up and not be unawares of the things that are happening in and around them. My people sometimes are desensitized to the things of the realm of the spirit, and they are mesmerized by what the enemy is doing through his presentation, circumstances, and orchestrations that he does before their eye gates and their central perceptions. But don't you be governed by those things. Don't you be drawn into those arenas where I put you into another realm. I put you into the realm inside of my son. I put you into the timeless zone, the realm of the spirit, the eternal realm, where you dominate the laws of sin and death there. Don't you understand you can't fight spiritual beings in the flesh or from the natural realm? You fight the spiritual beings in the realm of the spirit, where you can defeat the enemy 100% of the time when you take up your place inside of my son at my own right hand, where he's already underneath your feet. I already told you that. I already said it in my word. I already told you that all spiritual blessings have been bestowed upon you, and I've already given all things unto you, including the defeat of the enemy in every arena. Not just in this COVID-19 virus that they call it. It's just another spirit. It's a spirit of pharmakia and sorcery. Crush it. Bind it. Cast it down. Put a restraining order upon it. Oh, bind that spirit of death off of the people. The loss of steal, killing, and destroying. And loosen out of the authority of your spirit of Christ, man. Oh, the rivers of life and the glory. Release the spirit of life upon the earth. For you are the ones that are born here into the earth to be blessings. And when the spirit of death comes around people, or those viruses come around, take authority over these things. I want my people to understand the importance of what is happening here. I'm giving forth much grace, much more mercy to your nation. So long as you continue to pray, I will give you a great victory on Tuesday in the elections, and righteousness in your president. The President Trump will win if my people continue to lift up and pray and do not become lazy at this last hour. Understand this, the enemy is a masterful illusionist, and he's caused a lot of my people to go by the sense gates, and they lost character, they've lost their understanding, they've lost their perception of where they are and who they are, and they've become despondent by what he's done through the lies of the media. I told you that the media is going to lose all their credibility, they're going to lose anything that they ever had, they're going to lose it for a long, 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 long time because of what they've told everybody. All the lies that they've said in the last 4 years over this man and over this administration. They're going to lose all value. They're going to lose any credibility that they had, and the people will not respond nor listen to them. This will be a crushing defeat for them. But my people must not lose faint or lose heart at this last, right at the door you have. You're at the victory point, right at the door. Victory's right there. It's right there. Don't get lazy at the last minute, but continue to press in and press deep. Don't assume anything. Don't assume victory either. You've already got it by faith, but you must press in and make sure the enemy cannot steal anything at the last moment of time. But my people must continue to be vigilant, for you have the dominion in your hands. You have the authority in your hands and in your mouth, and understand the power and the place that you are, that my own right hand in heavenly places. Realize this, my people, realize this, and I'll give you victory in every area of your life so long as you see yourself in your position and your place in me, in your union with me, in your oneness with me. Understand that there was a great exchange made at the new birth. Oh yeah, I regenerated my spirit within you, the Spirit of Christ. I put the Holy Ghost within and among you as well. You can't lose. It's impossible for the new creation to lose, because I've already given you the victory in every circumstance and every situation of life. Don't go by what you see. Go by what you know in the realm of the Spirit, and you know I've given you victory, and you are an overcomer in me. You've already conquered all things, and you can do all things in Christ, for I've already given you that standing before me. That is your right. That is your privilege. That is part of your inheritance. So receive such. I want my people to ponder not only in this message and in the prophecy, but the message therein afterwards, for there's great instruction and great victory, how to maintain victory and win and continue to win. Continue to stay in my peace, stay in my presence, continue to pray. This is not the time to get distracted. If you're distracted on anything, just pray in the Spirit, because it's a different compartment. Make sure that you understand that this is the one, this is the time. You cannot lose your country. You will not recognize this nation if you lose these elections. It'll be something that you'll never understand. You'll never get back, because the enemy has got many plots in place. But I'll sweep them under, and I'll destroy every one of them. I've already done it in the realm of the Spirit, but this is your day and hour in history. You've got to enforce it and bring it to pass and bring it in through the birth pangs of your intercessions. Do it, my people, do it, so I can give you the joy. I can give you the satisfaction of the victory. So I can give you the peace and the well-being of an extension of my grace over your nation, so we can get the gospel out in these last hours of time. Receive these words unto you this day, and ponder deeply. And don't listen, but be an active doer also. And not just to hear, but do it. Say it. Bring forth the victory and bring everything home. For this is the power of my blood, this is the power of my standing, the power of the name of Jesus, where everything capitulates and surrenders and is subjected and bows their knee to that name. Receive this message, my children, for I love you. For these are the words of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We worship and adore you. On the day that you've made from the beginning of time, Lord God, we do rejoice and we're glad in it. Furthermore, Father, we thank you for this blessed day that you inspire us with revelation, insight, and knowledge from your very own throne room, the pure, unadulterated, incorruptible, and prostituted word. From your heart, lips, and mind into my lips, Lord God, from your heart to mine into the saints, and they bear fruits of righteousness, hearing and doing the word, and having supernatural retention, memory, recall. We thank you that the enemy is underneath our feet, and there he stays. We thank you for all these things. We thank you for the precious word of prophecy and exhortation you gave us. And we thank you for this message thereafter, Lord God, that will give us the insights, Lord God, and the tools in which to bring forth the birthing of those insights. We thank you in advance, Father, for this message by and through the blood of Jesus and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Saints, this is part 21 of our teaching, Working the Kingdom. Working the kingdom of Almighty God, amen, part 21, hallelujah. If you remember last week, we were talking about the importance of maintaining your position, understanding where you are. You know, we gave the analogy where there was an inspired word given to Joseph Princeton, where God allowed a man to step into the timeless zone as he prayed over him, and that happens to you too when people of God pray over you, amen. And that, listen, this is very important, that whenever anybody prays, and if you pray knowing that you're inside of Christ when you're doing so, you know, you're praying in that timeless zone where you exist. to bring your future before you. It could be by a word of prophecy, which you just heard now, and so on and so forth, other things. As far as God is concerned, your future has already happened. Never forget that. You know, we seem to be liking this flesh pot that we're in and going by the natural so much and going by time that you think that this is the real history of what's going on. You are going through historical time in a natural, but in the realm of the spirit in eternity where there is no time, all this has already passed away. The tribulation came and went, the 1,000-year millennium reign already came and went, and we read in the back of the Bible that God already created the new heavens and a new earth. So we're just going through historical time. God wants you to see, things the way he sees them, and only that way, because that's the real reality. That is the truth, and that is the absolute reality. Amen? Right now, in time, you may see yourself going through situations, a trial, again, like we said last week, in a marriage, work, finances, or health. But God sees the opposite. He sees a blessed marriage, success at work, supernatural provision, and healed bodies. Okay, why? Because he already did it. He already healed. God sees you think from the eternal perspective and point of view. He tells you that you're already are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ in Ephesians 1:3. You see, God sees you in Christ in no other way, and that's how we must see ourselves. So when we get in an agreement with heaven and we see ourselves the same way, okay, in Christ, who is outside of time, don't forget this, being inside of you is in the realm of the Spirit. And if the minute you step into him by faith and recognizing that Spirit of Christ is who I really am, when you agree with that and understand that and say that I am inside of him now you go outside of time as well as he does. You step into the timeless zone. In that timeless zone, everything is now at your beck and call. Okay, understand there all your trials, situations, or all your needs have been met or removed, repaired, or restored, or resurrected, depending on what you want. In that timeless zone in Christ, you've already been blessed with not only every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, but you're at rest at God's own right hand. Amen. I did that as a review so that you can use this as a springboard of what we're going to cover today. Now, where we left off last week was in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. So kindly turn there. Hallelujah. Now remember, as you're turning there, I want to bring to remembrance another thing we said last week. Whatever Jesus says of himself, you say also. Don't ever forget that. Because see, all the in him scriptures and whom scripture, in Christ scriptures and all that, God's talking about who you are and how he sees you in Christ. That's the real you and how the new you really is. Amen? We are to live out our lives that way. Amen? We are to live out our lives out of our first-person identity in Christ. Remember that. Out of our first-person identity in Christ. Paul was crystal clear on this in Galatians 2:20, if you remember. Remember? I was crucified with Christ, he said. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Think about that. That statement. I was crucified with Christ. You deserve to hang there, but Christ was your substitute and took your place. He interimposed himself upon you and over you. So you were crucified. That means that you died and the person whom you used to be died too. So don't live out of a resurrected being or a defeated being who's already dead, that was already buried and put away. You can't, because that was under the old covenant. You get no value, you get no esteem out of living out of the wrong covenant. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. See, he's understanding, he's recognizing his new identity, but Christ liveth in me. The Spirit of Christ liveth in me. That's the real me. That's the new me. And the life which I'm about to live in the flesh, I'm going to live by the faith of the Son of God. He knew that he had a new faith. It wasn't the faith of the old creation. It was the faith of the Son of God, who holds all the creation by the word of his power. Amen? Now listen carefully about this faith that you received inside of you by Jesus. Not only did I receive the faith of the Son of God, okay, to use for things that you need in life, amen, but also I use his faith to walk in my first person identity in him. Use that same faith to give, to put you over, to put your mind over, to put your mind and conscience at ease that this is really true, that this is real reality. You know, use that faith of the Son of God to say, look, I'm releasing the faith of the Son of God in me, so, you know, to help me walk in my first person identity in Jesus Christ, because that's the real me. That's true and real reality. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. I believe in my oneness with Him. I release my faith in my oneness with Him and in my union with Him. I believe in my co-shared experiences that I have with Him. Remember, the same Jesus that's inside of you was the same Jesus who walked the earth. It's the same Jesus who always coexisted together with the Father in heaven, okay? It's the same Jesus who was the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. So every experience He ever had, both in heaven and in earth, you know, He's in you. And so lean, say, I release my faith into the memories of the Spirit of Christ that He has, and He shares those with me. So this way, you know, I say, Lord, release every memory you ever had of your, you know, heavenship with Father and in your earth walk that you had down here, you know, and all your wisdom. I release my faith into that so that you share those with me so I can gleam upon them, so I can walk in a highly esteemed way. Amen? And I constantly glorify you in this revelation and experience. Amen? Amen. I believe in my oneness with Him, my union with Him. I believe in my co-shared experiences in Him. Hallelujah. Let's use as an example where we left off last week in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, where it says, when the evening was come, in verse 16, they brought unto Him many who were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirit with His word, and He healed all that were sick. Now, the reason why Jesus operated that way is obviously, you know, He saw Himself as the Lamb who was slain. He saw future members of the body of Christ, and He said, these are people who are in union with me, and all I know is that I'm perfect, and I'm not going to tolerate any imperfections in my sight, because this is my body. The scripture says that we're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, and as He is now, so are we in this world. Amen? So He didn't tolerate that. Jesus went about presenting and making what application of the kingdom of God. He opened it up so people could see. More importantly, He showed people the will of the Father to be done in the earth as it is in heaven. These people can't be sick. They can't be demonized because there are no sickness and there's no disease or demonized individuals in heaven. So He knew all this going in. So it was easy for Him to make application of the rules and the realm of the Spirit. And these people had to come into conformity because He now had the full strength of the Father's hand backing Him. He said it's the Father in John 14:10 that dwells within me who does the work. Daddy's doing it because I'm bringing the will down here. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, more importantly than all that, and that's important, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, meaning Jesus, okay, Himself took our sicknesses and bore our diseases, or sicknesses and diseases. I'll say it again. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Who did? He did. When did He do it? From the foundation of the world? When did He do it again? At the cross? When did He do it again? When you recognize it and realize that it was for you personally. Amen? When you come into conformity of that reality. You've got to first personalize all this, saints. You just can't read that scripture and say, oh, la-di-da, that was a nice verse. You've got to understand that you were there when this happened on a cross, okay? You were there. The Spirit of Christ in you was there, you know, witnessing this event. He was hanging on a cross when He did all these things. And you witnessed these events together. Remember, co-shared experiences and memories? Remember that? Now, okay, you first personalize it. What do you mean? Well, I say this. I saw Him take my infirmities. I saw Him bear my sicknesses. Amen. And yours too. Amen. Now think about that. I saw Him. Well, how do you know you saw Him? Because He's in you. Remember when you said, I release the faith of the Son of God in me so I can understand and so that He'll share with me those co-shared experiences of His memories and everything that He went through? Amen. So I was there. Okay, I was there when He took my, what, infirmities. I was there when He bare my sicknesses. Personally, I saw Him do it. I saw myself hanging on that cross, lost, just, you know, going to hell for eternity, but my Savior in a sinless offering, you know, came upon that cross and interimposed Himself upon me. He laid Himself upon me. and exchange all my failure, all my loss, everything I was in the fallen Adamic nature of my physical body or soulical makeup and my mental faculties. I saw him make a miracle exchange right there where he took every inefficiency of me and gave me his total sufficiency. Amen? I saw my bodily organs interimposed over his bodily organs. So if you've got a diseased organ in your body, if you've got a diseased kidney or liver, see Jesus' kidneys now interimposed over yours, or see his liver over, you know, interimposed over yours. See that mighty exchange being done. See it there. You were there. You were there. You witnessed it. You saw the exchange happen. It really happened. He was your substitute. He took all of your loss and failure, defeat, your sin, sickness, disease, and everything of the, you know, not only the fallen nature, but the satanic parts that were within us. He absorbed them all. Then in that great exchange, he gave you his divine life. He gave you his immune system. He gave you his hearing, his seeing. He gave you his bones, his marrow. He gave you, you know, his ligaments, you know, cartilages and tendons, his spinal column. He gave you his nervous system. He gave you his, you know, psychological and physiological issues. And whole, and everything within him, he gave you a perfection. He gave you everything that you could ever dream of, a perfect organs, tissue, cells, all of the major organs, all of the minor organs of your body are beating, you know, are perfect. Your heart is beating with the rhythm of life, Jesus' heart. Don't see yourself as a natural being anymore. See yourself as a being truly that says bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. The scripture says I have his organs. If I'm flesh of his flesh, I'm flesh of all of his flesh. Amen? And don't settle for anything less. I have his divine life. I have his prime of life. I have his divine immunities in every area of life. Don't receive the aging process. I told you that before. It's damnable. It's abominable. Because he's not aging. He absorbed that curse too. Amen. Amen. Look at Adam. He lived to be 965 years. How dare him have longevity? And when the new creation, who's a greater species of being, who's actually part of this Lord, and total and wholeness, both spirit, soul, and body, that we are truly the new creation is much greater than what Adam was. And we're aging? And we're starting to get old at 60, 65? Why are we tolerating that? See, that's part of not understanding the mind and having your mind sufficiently renewed to the Word of God. We've got to do that, saints. We've got to understand what we are and where we are. Hallelujah to these things, my beloved. Understand these things? Himself took him. He took him. Well, if he took him, he took him. You know, grab a hold of that verse. Grab a hold of those sayings. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sickness. Look at that. Now, picture that in your mind. That he can't lie. That scripture could not be a lie. He's quoting Isaiah 54, verse, you know, 4 and 5 in the book of Isaiah. Now, if it says that he took it, see him when he did it. See yourself there. See himself when he reached inside of your physical body and literally absorbed and sucked all that death out of you and put it inside of him. And then, you know, correspondingly releasing all of his divine life into you at the same time that happened. See it in every area of your life and don't tolerate anything left. You know, put his eyeballs upon your eyeballs. I don't care, his hair upon your hair. Okay, everything that you go through, your respiratory system, your glands, your teeth, gums, and roots, your sinuses, see him, you know, interimpose it and see that great exchange happening. Because that's what really happened. That's becoming first person identification minded. Remember what I said earlier as we started this teaching today? You've got to start first personalizing all things. If you don't, you're going to be left without. Amen? Because you're seeing yourself different from him. You're seeing yourself separated from him. There's no commonality. Remember, God sees you in Christ. All of him. All of him. And so we have to agree with heaven in order to get heaven's corresponding benefits. God cannot confirm what? A lie. He can only bless the truth. Do I have an amen? Hallelujah. First personalize it all. See where he took your sickness and bore all your, you know, diseases. Amen. And yours too, when you see other people. You speak to them in the first person too. Say, I saw Christ, that same spirit that's in me is in you. Amen. And I saw the time when he took yours. I saw you hanging on that cross too. And you talk to them as if you were really there. You know why? You were. You really were. Well, I could have. So you still don't get it yet. The spirit that's within you is the spirit of Christ, and he was there. And you release the faith of the Son of God within you to say, Lord, give me those co-shared experiences. Make it real to me. I was there, but open up my mind so I can actually see it where it happened. Then talk to that individual. He took it. He bore it. You know, he absorbed it. There's no way that you can possibly be walking under this cloud of disease when he himself already took it and gave you the reciprocal blessing of his divine life. And you've got to be adamant about these things. You've got to say it, you've got to believe it, and you've got to walk in it, and you believe it more real than your next breath. More than anything you believe in this natural, you've got to believe it 10 times more in the spirit world, because thy word is absolute truth and reality. Everything else is an illusion, I'm telling you, saints. Okay? Now, as you see yourself in Christ doing these things, okay, and as you see yourself with the Spirit of Christ in you, amen, and you count yourself in him, you step outside of time and enter into the kingdom of God, the eternal realm, or as we commonly call it, the spirit world, the spirit realm. Amen? Every time you say, I see myself in Christ, it took faith to say that. Now you've left the natural world, the mind, will, and emotions, the soulical faculties, and you went down into the spirit, man. It takes faith to believe that. Now, all of a sudden, God took you out of this time realm where the devil thrives in, where the devil wants to keep you in. See, if he can keep you into the time realm, he can dominate you, and he will defeat you 100% of the time. But if you can get him over into where you say, I'm in Christ, automatically, the minute you say those two words, I'm in Christ, you're exalting the Spirit of Christ, man, that is in you. You're seeing yourself in the kingdom of God immediately. You're seeing yourself sitting at God's right hand. You're seeing yourself positionally at rest. You're seeing where all of Satan has been put underneath your feet. See, all these correlating things start coming into, you know, confluence and into conformity, and everything breaks your way. Because now you're in agreement with heaven. If I'm in the kingdom, then I'm in the will of God. If I'm in the will of God, the will of God is perfect. It perfects everything it touches. It brings conformity and subdues all that is an opponent to heaven and puts it underneath your feet. Amen? Do I have an amen? This is good preaching, whether you like it or not. It's still true. Amen? Hallelujah. So every time you see yourself or say, I'm in Christ, or I say, you know, the Spirit of Christ in me is exalted and I see myself walking in him, you step outside of time and enter into the kingdom of God. You enter into the eternal, the spirit realm, the realm where Father God abides, that realm, just that only. Only him, right? Where his spirit and glory abound, amen, and abide. Where your authority works. Get it? That's where your authority works. It works there. It doesn't work in the natural, it works in the spiritual. It works there. As you're making, and you see yourself making these declarations from God's throne room at his own right hand. Amen. That's where your authority works. That's where prayers are answered or manifested. The spirit, eternal realm, always dominates the natural realm. I'll say that again. Listen carefully. The spirit world, okay? The spirit realm always dominates the natural realm. Always. And it dominates also the laws of sin and death. Just by its own reality of what it is. You don't fight, you know, to get victory. You fight from victory in that realm. Amen? You don't fight the spirit realm or the demonic realm from the natural or from the flesh. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work there. That's why Jesus said you must enter into the kingdom. If you seek the kingdom and you operate from that standpoint and the right standing that God gave you to operate in that kingdom, then all the things that you have need in life for shall be added unto you. He didn't say operate in the natural and all these things will be added unto you. If you operate from the kingdom and in the spirit world. Amen. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. You don't fight the spirit realm or a devil or the demonic from the natural or from your flesh, because you're not going to win there. He's going to win 100% of the time. You want to flip it where you win and have already won and where Father's already conferred the enemy a total loser eternally and he's already underneath your feet. Which realm would you rather operate from? The realm where God put the devil underneath your feet already and he's defeated there and he can't do anything about it? Or would you like to fight the devil from the natural, trying to beat a spiritual being? It's laughable, Okay, it doesn't work that way. Always understand your position and what you are and whose you are. Amen. You enforce the natural and the demonic realm to capitulate by your position in Christ. Do you hear me? You enforce the natural and the demonic realm to capitulate, to bow their knee, to come into subjection, to be subdued to Christ and to you. Amen? When you recognize and see yourself in your position in Christ, in the kingdom, outside of time, or the natural, okay? When you're outside of time, you're out, you know, you're out of the natural realm. You're out of the flesh, okay? You see yourself sitting and resting in Christ at God's right hand. All of our strength is in our oneness. All of our strength is in our union with Him. This is the only way God sees the new creation in Christ. Sorry, that's the way it is. Look at all the scriptures He did. Remember, all the in Christ, all the in whom, all that, all the ones in the New Testament. What is He talking about? He's talking about who Christ is and who you are in Him. He doesn't see anything. He doesn't see twain. He only sees one new man. Amen. Amen. Powerful saints, you got to understand the power of this. He only sees the what? God only sees the new creation inside of His Son Jesus. In Him, in whom, in Christ, all those scriptures, God is telling us that He sees us in Christ in no other way. And that's really important. We agree and believe this way. Guess what? You'll start flowing with God. Okay, or else we're going to live a life of frustration if we don't. Let's look at John chapter 17 real quick. The book of John. Now remember, Jesus was the one who in Genesis 2:7 created you and me. He poured out of Himself into man Himself, and man became another speaking spirit in the image and likeness of Christ. Then we fell, and then Jesus redeemed us back into Himself again, and at the cross and in the 3 days and three nights. So He came down to the earth to put us back into that original state that we had, an estate over the whole earth and dominion, for one purpose, to bring us the kingdom, forgive man of his sins, so he can now be reattached to Jesus again, the head to the body and the body to the head. So He does this long prayer from verse, 1 on to where we rest in 21, 2, and 3. And Jesus comes and makes this startling statement of what He knew what we were. Remember, He was there. So he only has one thought process here. I got to get my body back. Okay, I'm complete in myself as divinity God, but I'm incomplete without my body in a sense because I already said I want my church to work with me. Amen? So look at verse 21. He's talking, this is the prayer of the Father. And He said that they all may be one. That they all may be one. He had a mindset, He had a goal. Jesus' thoughts were, directed in one area, and they weren't going to be, sidetracked. They weren't going to deviate from the right hand or to the left hand. That they may be one as, look at to this degree now, as Thou, Father, art in me. Now, the heart can barely take that in, the depth of that statement. To the degree that that Jesus is one with the Father, that's how one we are supposed to be in Him. That's completeness. That's complete oneness. Amen? Again, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee. To the degree that the Father flows in oneness with Jesus, and Jesus flows in oneness with the Father, that's how one we are in Him. But the church continues to refuse to believe this by their actions and by the words of their mouth, generally. But we've got to be consistent in this because Jesus got His prayers answered. See, when the Son made this prayer, Father says, I agree. I believe that. So that's why He only sees us one way. So when we try to, go contrary to that, crosswise, and buck that thinking on how God sees us, it doesn't work then. Let's read on. Same verse. That they also, look at this, that they also may be one in us. Now, first of all, He's talking about union between Himself and the Father and Himself, that oneness. Then He says, I don't want them just to be totally one with me. I want them to be also totally one in you. That's why He said the word us there. So I'm just as much in union with the Father now as I'm in union with Jesus. And as Jesus is with the Father and the Father is with Jesus, they are both now in total union with me as well. I am complete in them, amen, and in him. Notice, see the distinction there and the differentiation there that Jesus is talking about? He says, now they are also one in us, both of us. He didn't say in me there, he said us, Father and Son. Hallelujah. Okay. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. How are they going to know and believe? Because you're going to be a giant. You're a supernatural being now. You're a miracle worker. Signs and wonders flow out of you because God Almighty now is the, you know, is flowing in you as the real you. Amen? 22, and the glory which thou hast given me, it was from the foundation of the world, amen, because I'm one with them, I have given it unto them. Why? Because the head is connected to the body. What the head gets, the body gets. It doesn't get cut off at the neck. If the head has the glory, the body has the same glory because it's the same essence, the same being. Well, he's only talking about spirit. No, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, as he is now. Okay, spirit, soul, and body, so are we in this world. Same glory which you gave me, I've given unto them, that they may be one. I want them to have the same glory, equal glory, so that they may be one. You can't be one without having the glory also flowing in you and through you. Amen. Even as we are one with this glory. Even as we are one with this glory. Notice the word we there. Again, he includes the Father. So I have the Father's glory and I have the Son's glory. I got them both. But do we see ourselves all the time, maintain that with consistency? Look at 23. Once again, in case we missed it, he summarizes. I in them, and thou, Father, art in me, that they may be made perfect in one. God considers that when we believe this, we walk in a state of perfection. Because remember what I told you, anything heaven touches, anything the will of God touches, anything that God himself touches is perfect. God always perfects that which is non-perfect or incomplete. He brings perfection to wherever he goes. He is the God of perfection. Okay? I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. So you're perfect. You're perfect in him. You're not, you know, you're not outside of him. If you're outside of him, you're not born again yet. But you're perfect in him. Amen? And the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them to the same degree that thou hast loved me. Imagine that, the same love. Why? Because there is no more twain. Never was. Okay, the devil tried to separate it all out. Now we're one again. Now we're back into that same love that the Father had in the beginning. Do I have an amen? That's powerful. Remember 1 John 4:17, as he is now, so are we in this world. And all of its glory and luster and bluster and supremeness and blessing. See yourself in that, saints. Okay? God sees Christ no other way. Let's agree and believe and flow with God. Okay? Let's look at Philippians 2, verse 5 and 6. The book of Philippians. Just before Colossians, after Ephesians. Well, Pastor, I have to really sell out to this union. I've got to really sell out to this oneness. I've got to really sell out to this understanding that there's no difference. I've got to sell out to really believe that the Spirit of Christ is not only in me, but the real me now. Yep, 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 exactly. Exactly. Paul says this in verse 5 of Philippians, let the same mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Pause right there. So he's saying the mindset that Jesus has, his thought patterns. Now we just read how Jesus thinks. Jesus is one. In the Spirit of the Father, right? One in love. One in glory. One in union. All that. Amen? He goes here, let the same mind be in you, of understanding that there's no difference now between you and the Father and Jesus. You know, Jesus, when he's here in this earth walk, he goes, he who has seen me has seen the Father. You can say the same thing now. He who has seen me has seen the Father through Christ. Simple as that. You gotta come, you gotta go, you gotta sell yourself out. Amen. He says here, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Well, Pastor, you're taking this thing to the extreme. No, I'm not. Jesus did. Paul is now through the Holy Ghost and his inspiration and writings here. Let's read it again. 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The same mind. Thinking patterns, thought patterns, belief patterns. Knowing that he's God. Knowing that he's divine. Knowing that he can do all things. Is all things. Believes all things. Look at 6. Because there's a colon there. After the word Jesus in verse 5. Who, meaning Jesus, being in the form of God, down here in his earth walk, watch this. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Remember they tried to stone him for saying that he was equal, meaning that his father and him were one. Therefore he was on an equality with God. So Paul in context here is saying, let this same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, was just like Christ, who was in the form of God down here. Okay, he didn't think it was robbery to call or see himself equal with God. You got to do the same thing. I have the same mind that Christ has. Let this mind be in me, which is also in Jesus, who what? Thinks it not robbery to see myself equal with God. How? Because Father and me are one. Who said Father and me were one? Jesus did. In John 17, verse 21, 2 and 3, that they may be one, Father, as thou art in me and I in them. Remember that? That they may be one in us. So if Jesus said the Father and me are one, therefore putting himself on an equality with God, then you have to say the same thing, or you're robbing God of the glory of the finished work and the price that was paid for by the shed blood of Jesus and all the punishment and pain that he went through, you're thrown out the window. So what brings you to the equality when you say, I and my Father are one? He is my Father. Therefore, that puts me on an equality with God. Not that I said it in myself, but because he said it and I agree with it. And Jesus, the Spirit of Christ that dwells within me, knows that it's real and true. Amen? So therefore, you've got to go about saying, you know, you've got to go through your day believing this. It's not robbery for me to see myself, you know, to be equal with God. But reverse it, though. But now if you don't believe this and you don't walk in it and you let your soul start running away with yourself and you let the devil start whispering in your ear, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to see yourself on an equality with God. And there's where you start robbing God. It's not robbery to call yourself equal with God. It's robbery to see yourself not equal with God. Now you're a God robber. Well, that sounds almost No, it's blasphemy for you not to see yourself on an equality with God. Jesus said it in verse John 17, 21, 2, and 3. He said it in 1 John 4, 17, that they all may be one in us, and as he is now, so are we in this world. And he says it again here. And the reason why we lose is because we walk around as still mere men yet, not understanding that we're God men and women here on this earth, letting the same mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now that's a true statement. And anything that opposes that's a lie. Period. No matter what. Okay? Let's close it, you know, today with one more scripture. I got many more. But let's go to John chapter 10, verse 30. The Gospel of John. I'm not going to be able to finish this, but at least you'll know where we'll pick up next week. This is where all this stems from. We heard it earlier in the Gospels, where Jesus said, you know, they wanted to stone him because of he saw himself, calling him Father and me are one, therefore calling himself equal with God. Verse 30 here, he says it again, just instigate him. Okay, Jesus says it again. I and my Father are one. They know what that meant. They know it. And why would he, see, the same belief structure he had there, he believed in John 17, 21, 2, and 3 for us. And Jesus said, why are you getting mad? Many good works have I showed you from my Father. So which of these works do you want to stone me? And they said in 33, the Jews answered, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, makest thyself God. But then Jesus said in verse 34, is it not already written in your law in Psalm 82, 6, that I said that ye are gods? That ye are gods? And I believe that he blasted it. You're gods there! Okay? Didn't I already say that you are? Stop seeing yourself as a mere man. That's the blasphemy. And you discredit me. And you dishonor me by not believing that you're one with me in your Godship. Let's unhook there and pick it up next week. Thank you, Father, for this message. We praise you, we bless you, and we worship you and adore you. We give you all the glory, Lord God, for this. We thank you, Lord God, for the victory in the elections. And we thank you, Lord God, that you give us the victory in all things. Keep us centered, Lord God, Christ-centered in our mindset, not wavering or double-minded. Thank you, Lord God, for not only supernatural retention, memory, recall, but we're here as endurers, ever mindful that the enemy is defeated underneath our feet and that we are positionally perfect in him, in Christ, and we give you all the glory for it, by and through the blood of Jesus. All of God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.